We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Dave Richard, our fantasy football guru, joins us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Dave, how are you, buddy?
I'd be doing better if I went undefeated in my fantasy leagues. I heard that somebody who I might be speaking with, maybe two somebodies, went undefeated this week in their leagues. That would be not hard to believe for one of you.
Yeah, well, Dustin
and
I are
partners. Playing together. We're partners. Yeah. We're sharing a team this year, so, and we got a nice big old big W win. In week one.
Yeah.
You ate a W like Jameis.
That's right.
Yes, we did.
That's right. I actually did not go undefeated, Dave. I went 3-1, and here's the amazing thing. It's not amazing. It happens every year. In the one league I lost, I had the second best score of the week.
Yeah.
Hate that.
You're the bridesmaid.
Yeah. I scored. It's a high scoring league in this league. We go 1 point for every 5 yards.
Oh, and, so everything is bananas. Yeah.
Right. And so like a good score is 230, 240, 260 is great. I scored 284 and I lost because the other guy scored 305 or some crazy score.
Dang. 305 is pretty crazy. You know what though? Like, in the karma in the universe that is fantasy football, it's going to come back to you. You're going to beat somebody. You know what you're going to do? You're going to beat somebody with like 80 points, and they'll have 76, and you'll both be the two lowest scoring teams. And that's what's coming your way.
Nah, it'll make up. All right, Dave. Let's talk about some of the injuries and the factors here. Let's start with the Ravens, though, and that's based on an injury. Previous injuries. Tyson Williams, I thought he looked really good in the first half. Then they went with Latavius Murray in the second half. What'd you think of Tyson Williams, and what do you make of the Ravens' backfield right now?
I wasn't as impressed with Tyson Williams as I was in the preseason. I thought he showed a little bit more acceleration and speed in the preseason. It looked like maybe he was a little tentative and thinking a little bit. Remember, this is his first real NFL action at running back. The Ravens are counting on him. And he made some mistakes for sure. There were definitely some mistakes in terms of choosing where to run, having that decisiveness. And he also made some bad mistakes as far as holding on to the football when Lamar was trying to give it to him on zone read. And also in terms of blocking. The fumble that ended up costing the Ravens the game was on a missed pass block from Tyson Williams. So I'm sure that there's going to be more of a mix that's going to frustrate fantasy managers over the next couple of weeks. But I'll tell you, I do think Williams has a little bit more explosiveness than Latavius Murray. Murray looked like a slug out there. His touchdown run was just okay. I think he was just right place, right time, that type of thing. I am not excited to have Murray on my roster, but I don't mind having him on my roster. I don't think he's anything to write home about. Williams, I think, still has a chance, but it might take a couple of weeks for fantasy managers to really trust him again.
Yeah. Dave, what about the Niners running back situation with Mostert out for the year now?
So Elijah Mitchell is going to be the top name off the waiver wire this week. Everybody's going to go after him, and they should, because he's got the chance to be the top dog in San Francisco's run game, but we don't know how long it's going to last. Could be 2 weeks, could be 3 weeks. Is it going to be the rest of the season? My hunch is no, because they did spend some decent draft capital on Trey Sermon. If I'm reading between the lines, it feels like he did something to warrant being inactive in week one. And now they really don't have a choice. They've got to make him active in week two. Let's put it this way. If Trey Sermon is inactive in week two, he must have tried to pull a really bad prank on Kyle Shanahan before week one, and he's really in the doghouse for it. Something like that. Mitchell reminds me a little bit of Mostert. He has good speed. He can break tackles. I think he's worth – if you're desperate for a running back and you use Fab to pick up players, you're going to have to spend most of it to get him. There's going to be people who are super excited to put him on the roster. And number one waiver claim, that's a different story. You're probably going to have a chance to get an early waiver claim every week. And he would be the guy that I would spend it on this week. It's just a matter of whether or not he can have the job for a long time. Let me give you a couple of notes. Number one, the 49ers under Kyle Shanahan have never had a running back run for 1,000 yards. Hasn't happened. Number two, it's been about 8 or 9 years since a rookie running back had at least 200 touches for Kyle Shanahan in any of the offenses that he's been in, not just San Francisco, but beyond San Francisco. So I'd be a little nervous to trust either Sermon or Mitchell as far as, like, long-term, got-to-have-it stud running backs. But as week-to-week guys, and Mitchell is that guy this week, I don't necessarily mind him.
Dave Richard, our fantasy football guru. Dave, last year, Cortland Sutton goes down in week one for the Broncos. He missed the whole year. This year, it's Jerry Jeudy. He's not out for the whole year, but he is out for a while. What are you doing there? And are you concerned about Cortland Sutton? He didn't do much week one, or is it just he's coming back from the injury? He'll be all right later.
A lot of ground to cover here, Bull. Let's start with just the receivers in general this week off the waiver wire. Mike Williams is going to be available in roughly like a third to 40% of CBS Sports leagues. He's the number one waiver claim to go get at wide receiver. And Sterling Shepard, especially if it's a PPR league, he's going to be available in over 70% of leagues. After those two guys, you can make the case for Tim Patrick of the Broncos to be the third receiver up. And I drafted Jerry Jeudy in a ton of leagues. I'm hoping to get Tim Patrick on my rosters tonight. He's not going to be my top waiver claim. Might be third or fourth on my list. Yeah. Might only spend 5% of my fab budget. But I think he's got some interesting potential while Jerry Jeudy's out. He's a better fit for that offense with Teddy Bridgewater, a quarterback, than K.J. Hamler. And I would have told you that if K.J. Hamler had held on to that deep ball that he should have had for a touchdown. He butterfingered it in the end zone. Patrick is a good route runner. He's got good speed. He's got good size. Broncos are going to need him with Jerry Jeudy out. As for Sutton, I don't think his speed is anything great anymore. He gets open with physicality. He gets open with leverage. That's really about it. If you drafted Sutton, he's okay as a number three receiver for now. You might have an opportunity to sell high on him if somebody in your league is desperate for receiver help.
Yeah, I got him. I got him on one team where he's my wide receiver six. I'm trying to move. I'm trying to move him for something else.
Now's the time.
Yeah. But how do you balance, Dave, when it's the waiver wire or making trades this early? You know, what you saw in week one versus what you believe, right? Like, you can't pan if you have Ezekiel Elliott or you have a good player that didn't have a good week, unless it's an injury. You can't panic about it. You got to trust the work you did going in, right?
The only area where you don't have to trust it is with those players that you took in picks round 9 and later.
Sure.
These are negligible players who you shouldn't feel any commitment to. And if there's a guy on the waiver wire that you really like, you make the switch. I'll give you an example. I went crazy for Elijah Moore on the Jets. I thought he was going to have a breakout week one, and he still might have a breakout rookie year. But I just got done watching the Jets film. Their offensive line's terrible. They looked like a completely discombobulated team in the first half, and they started to get it going a little bit more in the second half, but the offensive line was still an issue, and Corey Davis ended up stepping up and having a big role, and Jamison Crowder's on the way back. So Elijah Moore is somebody that I'm probably going to end up punting on, and they play the Patriots in week two. They've got a tough matchup in week three. I'm probably not going to come back to him until at least week four. He's an easy drop to go after a Tim Patrick. Obviously, one of the other receivers I named, Williams and Shepard, I would take them ahead of Patrick. Hamler's on the list. Christian Kirk is going to be somebody that fantasy managers go after. I'm not necessarily sold on him being somebody who can evolve into a week-in, week-out guy. How about Juwan Johnson? We didn't talk about the Saints tight end who caught two touchdowns. Barely played for the Saints, but he had two touchdowns, and he could end up being useful. He's probably going to see a bigger role as the season rolls on. I can't imagine that he's going to continue to barely play while guys like Marcus Callaway disappointed. So it depends on how late you drafted these guys. If you don't feel like you've got an attachment to them and you don't necessarily see the upside, then you let them go and you find somebody else off the waiver wire. You turn that spot.
Dave, got a question from Twitter here. He says, have to play two of these guys, Kareem Hunt, Damian Harris, and Corey Davis. Which two?
To me, Hunt is a must against Houston. Very good chance to score a touchdown. Might even be able to get 60 or 70 yards on top of it. Davis is probably a slightly better pick in half PPR over Damian Harris. We're not sure what his role is going to be. His fumble cost the Patriots a chance at beating the Dolphins in week one. But I kind of feel like the Patriots painted themselves into a corner with their run game. Harris is their best overall running back. They can't use James White as a running downs guy. He's more of a third down back. Ramondre Stevenson's a rookie. He also fumbled in week one. They do have an interesting running back named J.J. Taylor on the bench. Here's one for you, Bull. If you've got a roster spot, say you drafted somebody in round 13 and you drafted Matt Ryan and you don't need him. Right. You can cut Matt Ryan. You can cut Carson Wentz. Just I'm naming two random quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And you can stash J.J. Taylor just to see what happens this week. He was impressive in the preseason, not only as a pass catcher, but also as a running back. And I wonder if he's going to get an opportunity for the Patriots against the Jets to put up some numbers. That Jets defense is atrocious. I still think Harris is the guy that you potentially start. I would go Davis ahead of him if catches count. But Taylor's another name if you're just absolutely looking for a speculation ad who will be cheap in both waiver ads and in fab bids.
Dave, speaking of Taylor, I stashed him last year and he never did anything for me, but in my keeper league. But speaking of Taylor's, Taylor Heinicke is the new starting quarterback in Washington, replacing right. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Is he even going to be worthy of a running quarterback two position?
If you're desperate, he is. You know he's going to play for the foreseeable future. It might be the rest of the year for Washington. We don't know how bad this dislocated hip is going to be for Ryan Fitzpatrick. It doesn't sound like it's going to be very good. So he's going to have an opportunity to put up some numbers, put up 300 yards on Tampa Bay in their postseason game last year. And it's a pretty talented receiving core when you look at what Washington has with McLaurin and Logan Thomas. In two games, he played two games last year, one in the regular season, one in the postseason. McLaurin wasn't around for one of those regular season games. 15 targets to Logan Thomas in those two games from Taylor Heinicke. Strongly think that Logan Thomas is going to have a pretty good role there as a tight end that you can start reliably week in and week out, even with the quarterback change.
We're talking with Dave Richard, our fantasy football guru. Another fan question. Jared says, I have Diggs, A.J. Brown, Lockett, Thielen, and Ja'Marr Chase. He's got an injured J.K. Dobbins. Who should he trade, and what running back should he target?
I think Thielen is an excellent guy to try and trade and sell high on. You might not get, like, excellent value for him, but he's coming off of a two-touchdown game, and he's going to have a good role, but I think you could probably aim a little bit high at running back. I was going to say maybe somebody like Miles Sanders would be available to go and grab off in a trade for him, but that might be a little bit too much. You should be able to come down a little bit. Maybe what you could do is get James Robinson and another running back. Robinson had a game to forget in week one. The one thing Jacksonville can do to start trying and keep defenses a little bit more honest against them is run the football more. And they can do that with Robinson, who's clearly a better running back than Carlos Hyde at this point.
Yeah, speaking of trading for Miles Sanders, I offered in my keeper league, I offered a guy Chase Claypool for Miles Sanders, and he's thinking
about it. And he turned it down.
Who turned
it
down? No, I offered. I offered him Claypool for Sanders. He turned me down.
Right. So I think that's a good thing for you, especially if it's a keeper league, because you're going to want to have Claypool long term. Sanders looked good, though. He looked good in week one. You'd have to be in like win now mode to go ahead and get
Miles Sanders. I'm in total win now mode, and I have my wide receivers. I'm loaded. I got A.J. Brown. I got Godwin. I got Deontay Johnson. I got Claypool. I got Cortland Sutton. I've got one other
wide
receiver.
You're loaded.
I'm loaded at wide receiver. I'm forgetting one other, but that's why I need a third running back because I don't have a third guy. But anyway, go ahead, Dustin. You got one.
Oh yeah, I was going to ask you, David. What'd you make of the rookie wide receivers? The first three drafted. They all look to have a pretty good week ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Devontae Smith was as advertised. Loved the way he ran his routes. He had a good connection with Jalen Hurts. Weren't you guys surprised at how the Patriots played Waddle and the Dolphins? That seemed a little surprising that they'd leave the field open like that. I think Waddle can pick up some good receptions. And Ja'Marr Chase, just he's a stud. Everybody who passed on him, they probably are a little red in the face from it just because they were so focused on the drops. But the dude was a total pro in college, and it's not like he forgot how to catch a football. He was on his A game, and the Bengals are going to have to throw a lot this year.
They certainly are. All right, Dave, great stuff. What do we got going on tonight on CBS?
Well, we've got the trade chart. That's always very popular. That's out. And then everybody's going to be making moves to put players on their roster. But what about who you cut? We've got a list called the cut list that'll help you make determinations on who you can let go of from your roster. Maybe even players like Ronald Jones will show up on that list.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not confident in him. If you're in a 10-team league, you'll find out whether or not he should be cut. It's all on CBSSports.com.
In a deep two-quarterback league, are you stashing Deshaun Watson?
I don't think he plays this year, Bull.
No?
Now, listen, if you've got, like, a dozen bench spots, you can probably carry him and not worry about it. But I don't think he's playing this year.
You're probably right. Dave, great stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, man. Good luck on waivers tonight.
Thank you, Dave. Thank Richard, you, Dave. Our fantasy football guru.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.